Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Hakamani L. Bate, and you are about to experience an excellent evening. And today we'll be dealing with your nationality, your rights to travel, and that sort of thing. And our special guest this evening will be Tariq Bey, and he's going to be teaching today. So what I'm going to ask you to do, if you all would go ahead and get you some pencil and paper and be prepared to take notes so you can remember this stuff. I'd like to start off by giving you access to me. I can be reached at thehawker99@yahoo.com in reference to your free articles that we give out, the 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game, because it is very important for us that are what is called 14th Amendment citizens to understand what is going on inside the United States of America Corporation. And when you understand the 14th Amendment and it is exposed and broken down for you, and also you understand the commerce game that is going on inside this country, you'll be able to fare better and be able to turn this thing around to your advantage. Also, I'd like to say something about the archives that we've created. We've created one of the greatest archive library for you. And what this thing is designed for is for people to cut down on all the hassle and spending of money in an attempt to take advantage of your culture and dealing with your nationality and all of that stuff. And it also is an excellent reference point for your children that are in the public and private school system, so that they will be able to dispel myths and lies that's being told to them and propagated and peddled for truth inside these institutions, and so that they will be able to print out the information that they need and present it to the teacher as evidence. Now, I'm going to go on here and say some things, first of all, and when my guest arrived, then we will let him take over. But in order to access your archives, you would need to contact me at 904 area code 303-9061, and we'll get that to you. And I would like to say congratulations to the brother this evening that just phoned me right before I came on the broadcast and let me know that he was making preparations to access his archives. So the first thing I want to say is as long as you are inside this country that is stabilized and have become a corporation, in order for them to deal with you, they're going to treat you as a corporation. And, of course, a lot of people don't know that when you are born to the world and you're in the hospital, your mother gives you a name that is turned into a title and a nomen at birth. Your mother is given a birth certificate, and where she signs her name, it doesn't indicate that she is the living parent to a living being that she's brought into the world. And the birth record, the actual birth record, is kept by the hospital, and it is later sold on the New York Stock Exchange as discount securities. But that is the beginning of the enslavement process and the putting of individuals, labeling them as corporations and putting them underneath the 14th Amendment citizen, under someone else's authority. Now, when you become aware of that, then you want to do everything that you can to make sure that you are no longer being regarded as a 14th Amendment citizen. You want to be a free person. You was born in this world as a free person, and you want to have a name attached to a body, a living, breathing being, instead of having a label commonly called your straw man attached to a fictitious entity that can be taxed, policed, imprisoned, killed in the streets by city officials, officers, and then it's just simply written off as nothing more than you are a citizen's property of the citizens, so to speak. Anytime you're inside a courtroom, the first thing that the judge is going to do is he's going to call your name, and if he calls out that fictitious entity name and you agree that that's you, and then automatically he gets a chance to go past status and jurisdiction and go straight to adjudication. However, if you stop him and let him know, okay, you have, I'm here to make a special appearance in regards to the matter at hand. The name that you call out is not a name. It is a label, and it is not me. And if you would notice on the paperwork that you have before you, that nomen, that entity is in all capital letters, which is written as an improper noun, because all of the letters are capital, indicating anything other than a living, breathing being. So that is the main crux of what we are dealing with here. And also they want to try to make you believe that you're going to have to go through, play by their rules and regulations in order to be free when you are already free and a living, breathing being. And so what you do want to do is to put them on notice of your freedom. And I always recommend to brothers and sisters that you go and make your identity a public record. Go ahead and if you have a newspaper in your city, if there are little free magazines and stuff that you can put an article in, it is a good idea to go ahead and drop you an article in there so that you will have a public record of your identity as a free person, an aboriginal person, as an indigenous person, and exercising all your sovereignty and all of your rights. By law, you have the right to travel. You don't need a driver's license. But what the powers that be wants to lead you to believe is that you need one in order to travel upon the land, but you don't. And it makes sense to me that if I am aboriginal and indigenous to the land, why would I need someone else's permission to travel upon my land? And all of your Supreme Court decisions has been made. The information is well known, it's well documented, and it's available to people. And so that is another reason why we have created this library and put this information in there and made it available to you and your family, especially your children, opposed to them coming home and dealing with the video games and looking at cartoons and stuff on TV. They have something that they can go into and go on a very, very interesting journey into their culture and their story and learn these things from a positive, within a positive light and in a truthful manner. Now, back to the courtroom. Once again, any time that you're in a courtroom, you have to understand that the railing that is in front of you when you are seated in the seating area and you're inside the courtroom, that railing in front of you, that is the floodgate. And the little gate that swings back and forth, that is the bar. And you have to keep in mind that the judge, the prosecutors, and all of these people that's in there, that you are going before, these people are members of the bar, which is a foreign corporation. And you have to understand that. And so being members of the bar, they do not have the right to practice law. So what they do is they enforce statutes and ordinances, but it's all on an agreement basis. When you agree to be the fictitious entity that they are trying to label you as, then they get a chance to go past status and jurisdiction and go straight to adjudication. So it is at that point when they are calling on you that it is time for you to make the move that you need to make and let them know that you are not so-called entity that they've called out. And it is also a good idea if you ask the judge, if you do give him a real name that's attached to a living, breathing being, if you would enter into a contract with him. Nine times out of ten, what they will do is they're going to try to postpone you or anything to get you out of the courtroom and keep you from exposing the truth to the rest of the people inside of the court. At this point, I got a call. I'm going to open up the line and see what we got going here. Area code 347. You're on the air. Area code 347. Could you tell us who you are? Okay. All right, I'm going to go ahead and mute that. I see the brother has his hand raised. However, let me continue. Now, when you are dealing with the sheriff's department, the same thing applies throughout the entire system. You want to make sure that you let them know that you are not that 14th Amendment citizen. You are not that straw man. And you are a living, breathing being. And if you have proclaimed your nationality as an Aboriginal and Indigenous person or more, you want to make sure that they understand that, because there is a treaty inside the United States called the Treaty of Peace and Friendship of 1787. It is one of the oldest and longest and oldest unbroken treaties in the history of this country. And there was an established government here on this land. A lot of things that the Europeans have, which are immigrants, are derived from ancient Moorish law. And I just wanted to throw these things in here so that we will understand what is going on inside the country. Okay, I'm gonna still have this brother here with his hand raised. Area code 347. You're on the air. Are you there, brother?
Peace, Tall Hacker. Peace. How you doing?
Hey, I'm just fine, my brother. Tell me your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, this is Brother Kyle from Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, brother.
And, I'm loving the information. You know, information is very much needed, and I'm just listening in.
Okay, my brother. Well, I'll go ahead and continue with what we're doing. I appreciate you listening, and so let me go ahead and mute this out, and I'll go ahead and continue.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay, now, anytime that we are dealing with the Sheriff's Department, we want to keep in mind that it is important for us to understand that the same thing applies when we are out on the streets and dealing with the Sheriff's Department. When you're riding in your automobile and you are exercising your freedom of rights to travel, you are not operating in commerce. You are not driving a tractor trailer. You're not operating a taxi cab. You're not operating a city bus, a state bus. You're not operating a train, a tractor, whatever. You are just operating your vehicle, traveling to the store, on a regular basis, wherever it is that you are traveling. And you have a right to do that, and you don't need anyone else's permission to do that. But, of course, what the powers that be that want you to believe is that you need a driver's license. And they stress that over and over. You have to understand also that a lot of these guys out there in the street does not have any knowledge concerning law. They are only going through the motions. They have a 9-to-5 job. They have a gun and they have a badge, and they feel like, well, I have authority, and anything that I understand, I just go ahead and make an arrest. But it is up to you to know your rights and to study your rights and be able to exercise your rights as a Aboriginal and Indigenous person when you're out there on the streets. Number one, when you receive a ticket from a police officer and he gives you that ticket, before he gives it to you, he has already signed his name on that ticket. And what you need to do when he presents you with that is just go ahead and put a little small X on it. Don't argue with the guy and all of that stuff. Just go ahead and put a little small X on it and take it. And you want to make copies of that and craft a letter to the Secretary of State informing him that the primary signer whose signature appears on that ticket is the primary signer, and therefore the person that should pay the ticket. Your name doesn't appear on there. You're not a 14th Amendment citizen. You're exercising your constitutional freedom of rights to travel. And if they want payment, to please forward this thing to the Department of Treasury for collection from the primary signer that has already signed that ticket. So it is important that we exercise every option that we have. If push comes to shove, and the reason I'm saying this now is because we had a situation here in Jacksonville, Florida, where a brother was stopped by police officers. And the police officer, he gave him his documents, and he gave him this notice of understanding and intended claim of right, which contained his fee schedule starting at $180,000 up to $2 million, and he gave him his affidavit of truth as well, and of course he gave him his judicial notice and proclamation of identity, and when he did that, the officer became angry, and he wanted to ignore the brother. He held him up. He called other officers, and they made a big show out of it because what they're trying to do is to discourage people from being free and want to lead the onlooking public to believe that this person that we have stopped has done something wrong. The first thing that has taken place is the officer, when he comes up behind you, if you have your freedom plates on your automobile, he's cut on his lights. He's already declaring an emergency. And he's also, if he's pulling you over and a stop, he's declaring an emergency. He's also declaring someone has been injured. So you should ask him if he's declaring an emergency, which is a, if there is no emergency, that is a felony. And if he is, you need to ask him where the injured party is. And it is a good idea when I'm out traveling, I keep a cassette recorder. You might want to keep you a video cam attached inside the automobile so that you can record the entire incident, and you want to ask this officer direct questions when he stops you. You want to ask him, just tell him, "Officer, I'm exercising my freedom of rights to travel. I'm not operating in commerce. Am I free to go, and or am I being detained?" And make sure you get that on the record, so in the event that you he hold you up or he wants to try to take you to jail or try to hassle you in any kind of way, when you file your lawsuit before a grand jury, you will have evidence to present to the jury in regards to this officer. And the incident that I was about to tell you about, this brother, he was stopped by an officer, and the officer, he insisted on writing this guy a ticket and tried to force the guy to sign it. The guy refused to sign it. But what the brother did was he went ahead and he filed a lawsuit against the officer. And the officer later came to his house and asked him why he was suing him like that. And the brother said, "Well, look, I can't talk to you. You have to speak to my lawyer." And because he didn't know, the brother didn't need a lawyer. But you do have something that you can do. And the most important thing that you can do is learn everything that you can about your culture on this landmass and abroad, and learn about civil law, and learn about your rights outside of being a 14th Amendment citizen. Learn about the Commonwealth. Learn about civil law. And that's very, very important for you to do. That way, the more power you have, the more you can achieve. Also, when you are traveling, you want to make sure that you carry your documents with you at all times. And you want to make sure that the vehicle that you're traveling in, it is a good idea if you have a vehicle that you have paid for and you have a receipt showing that you are the owner of that vehicle. And have that vehicle deregistered so that you have complete and total ownership. You also want to see if you can get a hold of some information on the manufacturer of the vehicle. I also carry a power of attorney document, and I also carry a copy of the Treaty of Peace and Friendship inside the United States. But the Peace and Friendship Treaty of 1787. I carry that document with me, and I also make the officers aware of all documentation that I have, so they will never be able to say that I never presented them with a full and total identity and right to do what I'm doing and according to constitutional law. Because like I stated earlier, a lot of these guys just simply don't know the law. They think what they're doing, because they're police officers, they have every right to hassle you and do this, that, and the other, but they don't. They simply don't. So I just wanted to put that out there. And once again, for those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Morris Talk Live 100. We're dealing with nationality. We're dealing with your rights to travel. We have special guests that will arrive this evening. Brother Taj Tariq Bey is our guest for this evening, and he's going to be speaking on nationality and the like, and we're just waiting on him to show up. So I'm going to stop and take a little short intermission, and then we'll be right back. Welcome back, Moores. You're listening to Mortgage Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amani L. Bay. And our guest has not arrived as of yet, but I'll go ahead on and proceed anyway. Let's deal with the arrest. When you accosted by police officers and say some kind of way, even after you have presented them with your documents and you have let them know that you are exercising your right to travel, when a policeman, and I'm using the term policeman because when you say officer, all officers, regardless of whether it is a church officer or whether it's a club officer, regardless of what type of officer it is, all officers are elected officials. And the only officer in your town that is an elected official is the sheriff. And so these policemen are under the impression that they are officers. You might want to point that difference out in the courtroom if you have to go there. However, when he puts you in handcuffs, you are officially, at that time, regardless of what anybody tell you, you are under arrest. Okay, now if he puts you in the automobile and he aims that automobile in the direction of the jail, he has committed kidnapping at that point. And the next step that he is supposed to do is to take you to a magistrate's office. If he does not take you to a magistrate's office and he takes you straight to jail, then he has committed an act of kidnapping, aggravated kidnapping. And the fact that he has a weapon on his side, he is also can be charged with attempted murder. Now, once you get to the jail, you have to remember that the entire system is built on a voluntary system. They're going to search you down, and all of this is, of course, against your will. But it's at that point that you need to protest and explain to them, and they're going to try to ignore it, but that's all right because all of them are going to be a part of the lawsuit as well because you have been fraudulently kidnapped. You are still under the kidnapping process. So when they confiscate your materials, they'll tell you that they need your signature. Now, once you give them your signature for the materials that they take from you, the fingerprinting and the property and all of this stuff, you are in agreement that the fictitious entity that they are arresting you under is you. Okay? And so I just wanted to point it out. It may be a good idea that when they put their lights on you and pulling you over, if you would call somebody that is fully aware of your identity as a indigenous person, a sovereign person, because if you go there as that person, you want to make sure that you are in there as that person, and you want to make sure that they understand that the entity that they are trying to lock you under is not a living, breathing being, person. It is a fiction, and it is just a convenient means for them to rob you and incarcerate you and force you to be something that you're not. So the person that would come to release you from jail or what have you, they are to give that bailiff the sovereign identity. So that way everything is in place as a sovereign. So once you file that, draw up your paperwork and file your lawsuits against the policeman as well as all other what they call them. They're not police officers inside the jail. They are correctional officers that will also be sued before the grand jury. The entire everyone that has handled you inside that jail should be a part of that lawsuit, and that is what you're going to put in the hands of a grand jury. So you may have to do a little work. You may have to find out who everybody is to make sure that you get that done properly so everything will be in order. And, of course, they will be put on notice that they are being sued by you as an Aboriginal and Indigenous person. Okay? So I just want you to go back and after this broadcast, listen to this over and over again so that you can get this information down. And I'm going to just give a little quick brief overview of what we've done. To starting off, for those of you who are trying to act as sovereigns inside the United States, even if you're trying to be an Aboriginal and Indigenous person, you're proclaiming your nationality as a Moor, as a sovereign, you can access me through Tarahaka99@yahoo.com. That's Tarahaka99 at yahoo.com. And I will send you your free articles, the 14th Amendment Exposed, which is very, very important for everyone to know in the country, regardless of whether you are sovereign or more or what have you. If you're inside the United States of America Corporation, you need to have this information. Also, the Commerce Game Exposed, and that those two articles clearly explain to you everything that you need to know, and as a starting point for you to begin to get out of the situation that you were put in at birth. Also, once you was born into the world and they did the birth certificate thing, the next thing they did was come to you with what's called an SS-5 document. And they told you that is a document that you were supposed to sign in order for you to get your Social Security. But what they did not tell you is that what you were doing was giving them power of attorney to access your birth bond that they have already previously created. And so you're going to be given, according to them, you get your Social Security when you reach age 65, and now I think they move it up to 70, and they move it up and up, and you're only going to get a fraction. But what you need to understand is all of it belongs to you. And as an Aboriginal and Indigenous person, you're non-obligated to taxation. Even on your job, when you're working on a job, you're earning what's called pecuniary wages. And by law, pecuniary wages are non-taxable. So what you're going to have to do, those of you who are working on a job, you proclaim your nationality, you have your mortgage documents, including your judicial notice and proclamation of identity and all of this stuff, you need to go to your personnel department and sit down with them and make them aware of your position and your changes and the fact that you are not a 14th Amendment citizen and you should be receiving all income that you are working for. There shouldn't be any taxes taken out of your wages because you are not obligated to taxation, and this information should be spelled out in the documents that you present to them. That's very important as well, and you may want to have that written up inside of your affidavit of proof. You can also have that written up in your notice of understanding and intent and claim of right. Now, that document is a document whereby you have crafted your total understanding based on civil law versus what they got going on inside the United States Corporation. You want to point by point explain to them your understanding of the Gold Seizure of 1933 and what it encompasses, the House Joint Resolution 192 and what that's all about, and the fact that the United States of America is a corporation and that it is currently acting, operating in a bankruptcy today. And the fact that the only thing that we have today that is legal tender is a fiat currency, which does not have any gold behind it. So therefore, it is pretty much virtually worthless. But now the society that we live in constantly wants us to believe that the dollar bill still has some kind of power, but it really doesn't have any value. It's only in the minds of the possessor of these dollar bills that they think they have some power. So, and it's all based on a agreement system. You agree that the cash that you have has value, and the merchant that has the merchandise, he's agreeing that the he will accept this cash from you in exchange for goods. But we all have to understand that it does not have any goal behind it, so therefore it is worthless. But it is also all a part of what's called the commerce game. So for those of you who would like these two free articles, the 14th Amendment Exposed and the Commerce Game, you can get that by simply sending me an email at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com, T-A-R-H-A-K-A, 99@yahoo.com. And for those of you who would like to have your own personal library that you can go to, and keep in mind, in the privacy of your home, we upgrade this library on a weekly basis with new materials that you can use. You have materials in there on the ancient Egyptians, the ancient Dogons, ancient Moors, your culture on this landmass, your culture in Europe, materials on sovereignty, information on law, your videos are there, and many other very important pieces of information, because it is a virtual library, and it does serve you and your family well, especially your children that may have school projects, because if they are in the school system, then they are being subject to information from a Eurocentric position. And see, we need to correct that so that our children will have a full knowledge of themselves and a full true knowledge of their culture and the true knowledge of the law. And that way they're able to print out the materials out of the library and present it as evidence to the teacher when the teacher start trying to tell them about Christopher Columbus discovered America and Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and all of this stuff. So they will be able to bring something to the table and throw a whole brand new twist on the hypocrisy and the lies. So for those of you who need to access this library, you simply contact me at our area code 904-303-9061. And I was saying that people can contact me after 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but we're going to have to do this during the daytime now, because our broadcast comes on at 7 p.m., and it is a two-hour broadcast, and then closing down at 9 p.m. So now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to a another quick break. But before I do, I want to give you some more information on the for those of you who have a Facebook account. If you have a place on MySpace, a Black Planet, on Dig, or Twitter, go ahead on and send your request for friendship there, and I'll honor that, because what we do is on a regular basis, we place videos on my wall there at Facebook, and this is very, very informative material. This is stuff that is not being taught in the school system, and you can go there and click on the videos. They're all lined up in a row, and you can go back and check older posts by just scrolling down to the bottom of the page and click on older posts, and you can study those videos and also encourage your children to go there as well. There is no negative material there. There is no no homosexuality there. There is no nudity there. It's just straightforward information. A lot of stuff is on religion. A lot of stuff is on our culture and our story and what's really going on inside of the United States, and no foolishness. So we're going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back.
Today's special is Memphis Soul Stew. We sell so much of this, people wonder what we put in it. We're going to tell you right now. Give me about a half a teacup of base. Now I need a pound of fat back drums. Now give me 4 tablespoons of ballin' Memphis guitars. This gonna taste all right. Now just a little pinch of organ. half a pint of horn. Place on the burner and bring to a boil. That's it right there. Now beat well.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I want to go to something here. I'm going to encourage all of you. It's very, very important that you get you a general, durable power of attorney document. And a power of attorney document is just a simple way for you to list your straw man and list your indigenous sovereign name and take control of that and be able to use that document and put it into evidence any time that you have to. And it states here on this a general durable power of attorney document that I have, it said the powers you grant below are effective even if you become disabled or incompetent. It states, caution, this is an important document. It gives the person whom you designate your agent broad powers to handle your property during your lifetime, which may include powers to mortgage, sell, or otherwise dispose of any real or personal property without advance notice to you or approval by you. These powers will exist even if you become disabled or incompetent. This document does not authorize anyone to make medical or other health care decisions for you. You may execute a separate document for that purpose. If there is anything about this form that you do not understand, you should ask the lawyer to explain it to you. Now, down at the bottom of this document, it says effectiveness of power of attorney. This instrument is to be construed and interpreted as a general dual power of attorney, effective immediately. This power of attorney should not be affected by a disability, incompetency, incapacity of the principal. In other words, this document is gives you, as an aboriginal, an indigenous person, not a 14th Amendment person, a 14th Amendment citizen, full power of attorney actions over the straw man that you will have listed on this document. And that is how mine is drawn up. So when you have a problem and they're going to insist, the powers that be are going to insist, and this goes for your bill collectors as well, they're going to insist on you being something that you're not in order to maintain power over you, but you have to provide them, put them on notice, so to speak, that it is you that is exercising power over the fiction that they have created by enslaving you at birth and accessing your wealth through the SS5 document until you are able to secure all that belongs to you back in your possession, but under an aboriginal and sovereign identity. I hope I've said that plain to you so that you will understand what I'm trying to tell you. So when you make that power of attorney document up, make sure it is signed, sealed, and notarized, and stamped. You may want to get you a family metal family stamp to use to stamp that document with as well, and to carry that document with you on your person when you are traveling. I keep mine in inside the a notebook, and with an identification that is created for my freedom of rights to travel. And I carry all this information along with the manufacturer of my vehicle, the receipt of purchase for the vehicle, and a copy of the Treaty of Peace and Friendship of 1787, so that if you're presenting them with this kind of stuff, and also my judicial notice as well as my affidavit of truth, and that is enough information right there to let a grand jury know that you provided the police officers with this information. They ignored it, and your rights have been violated based on the information that the violation of the information that you have provided, and so you feel that you are within your rights to sue them, and you are asking for $2 million per person, and you're asking the grand jury to grant that to you, and make sure that all the documents that you have, regardless of what type of documents you have, make sure you have multiple copies of these documents. If you're getting your birth certificate bond, and keep in mind that is a bond, it is on bond paper, so as many as you can afford to get in your possession, you want to get those. So when it is time to redeem those bonds, you can do so by presenting them with a copy of the bond. Before we get down into all the details of the paperwork and all of this stuff, I just want to say at the outset, the most important thing that we have to understand is the majority of what we need is knowledge, because that it is from that power base that we are going to work and do what we have to do. And so keep in mind that it is very, very important for you to study, once again, law. And when I say law, I'm talking about civil law. I'm not talking about statutes and ordinances. I'm talking about the Commonwealth, your common rights, your common law, and so that you will know this and know what is rightfully yours and what you can exercise as a free person on this land, in the land of your ancestors and where you was born. We're getting down to the bottom of the hour, and our guest has not arrived, and I don't think that he is going to be arriving this either. We're going to have to reschedule him. Something has taken place. I don't know what went wrong. But anyway, I hope I have given you something that you can use, and we're going to continue in an attempt to bring the brother on so that he can verify a lot of the things that I have told you and maybe elaborate further on it so you can have a clearer understanding of what we are trying to tell you. There is a difference between a free man and a slave. And we no longer have the chains on our ankles and our wrists. Now the chains is on our mind. We're being enslaved at birth. And this is everybody that's under the satellite of the United States of America Corporation. When you go out to vote for a president, the only thing that they're doing is taking a poll. The leader of this country or this corporation has already been pre-selected. There is no counting of people's votes going on to determine anything. They're simply taking a poll to determine how many people on this landmass agrees that this person here ought to be president? How many people agrees that this gal over here or this woman over here is going to be president? But it does not affect anything. Don't be misled. Even if no one went out and voted inside the United States of America, they will still select someone because he has already been pre-selected in the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been your host, Ahaka Amana L. Bay, and until next broadcast, I will see you later. Don't forget, for your free articles, just contact me at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's your 14th Amendment Exposed and the Commerce Game and How to Play. And for those of you who like to have your own personal library, and keep in mind, in addition to that, we're going to give you a set of DVDs that go along with it. That's just a free gift. And you access that by contacting me at area code 904-303-9061. And until next time.